do something together about it. And they're committed to each other, and they're committed to, like, growing these relationships despite having gone through 8 months of very precarious, very up-and-down situations, very intense, but they're still there, and they're still talking to each other. And that's an amazing thing. So what can you do now? Come together, figure out what is it that ties all of these issues together, and start just hammering away at it.
And that...
KRFP is supported by...
Tie-Dye Everything, specializing in locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located behind Mikey's at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. You can also find Tie-Dye Everything at tiedye-everything.com. KRFP is also supported by
Ponderosa Rentals, providing quality home rentals since 2006, including 3- and 4-bedroom apartments and houses. For more information, you can reach Isaac at 208-882-6442 or PonderosaRentals at hotmail.com.
KRFP, Moscow.
And you are listening to KRFP, Moscow. It's Wild Clearwater Country Show. It's just about 4 o'clock, and let's do a little bit of the weather before we get into the show today. Looks like mostly clear tonight, a low about 45. It's projected mostly sunny tomorrow, high about 66. Partly cloudy Thursday night, low about 44. Sunny on Friday, 66. Partly cloudy Friday night, low about 46. Mostly sunny Saturday, high at 73. And Saturday night, about 51. A slight chance of showers on Sunday. And so it's a pretty good forecast for the rest of the week, although it's not going to be super warm. It'll be warming up in the 70s by the weekend. Well, before we get into the show, I think I'll play a little bit of new music here from the Joey Ramone. He died recently. And, of course, I will again announce that you are listening to KRFP Moscow. But... he died a while back, and there's some unreleased music from him that's new to the station. So I'll play a little of that. It does, from what I understand, sound a lot like the Ramones. So here we go with some music from the studios of KRFP.
I wanna get a belly full of beer.
are back, the Wild Clearwater Country Show. That was a little bit of new music from the KRFB studios. That was Joy Ramone before he died. This is some unreleased material. I think some of it goes back maybe even before he was with Ramones. I don't know how old some of this is, but anyway, some old material from Joy Ramone. Well, this week in the Wild Clearwater Country, we're going to be talking about a process the Forest Service is engaging in. It's kind of an odd one, and they're actually looking for public input. They've had a few announcements in newspapers, but other than that, there hasn't been a lot. And what it's called is the Nez Perce-Clearwater National Forests niche statement for what they call their recreation facility analysis. And they're looking for some public input. And you have to ask yourself, well, you know, exactly what are they looking for? Why all these big, long names? Well, basically, when you boil it down, that the Forest Service is looking for input on what facilities they want to keep open, what ones they would possibly close due to budgetary constraints, and where recreation facilities ought to be. Now, normally this kind of process should go through the National Environmental Policy Act. This is actually a plan. It's the recreation part of a forest plan. But they're not doing any formal public involvement. They're asking for input, but they're not doing it through the normal public involvement laws that the nation has set up. But these are being the personnel from the Nez Perce-Clearwater National Forests. Those two forests are merging. And I think people can find some of this information on the website, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But I just want to kind of give an overall perspective of what they're looking at. One of the problems with this, though, is that the impetus behind the Forest Service doing that kind of a plan did not come from the agency itself. This is about a five-year-old process now. They sort of update them every 5 years, these plans, they call them, there's these analyses. But rather, it came from corporate America or the corporate world, and it really is sort of a backdoor attempt to privatize recreation infrastructure on the national forests. And you ask, well, what's happening here in the Clearwater and the Nez Perce National Forests? Well, not long ago in the newspaper, the Forest Service announced that it might turn over to concessionaires, in other words, private entities, campgrounds along Highway 12, perhaps the most popular spot on the entire Clearwater National Forest. It goes along the Loxon, Middle Fork, Wild, and Scenic Rivers, and it is a national scenic byway. But turning over the campground to private interests does not make very much sense at all. But that's exactly what the proposal has been. And the reason the Forest Service said they were doing that is because of budget problems. However, if the Forest Service were to charge fees for some of these sites, and I'm not advocating they do that, but if they were to do that, and they do already do on most of those campgrounds, but on all of them, there'd be money. That money gets to stay on within the national forest. When a concessionaire takes the fees, they keep it all. So the Forest Service probably would end up losing money under that perspective. But that's what this recreation facility analysis is. It's an effort to privatize not only the existing recreational infrastructure, but the Forest Service has a lot of structures out on the national forest, remote cabins, remote lookouts, and whatnot, that corporate America would love to get their hands on. And that is the genesis, the beginning of this process. And it began a little over 5-6 years ago. But the Forest Service is now taking public comment. And so that's one of the problems with it. The whole process sort of comes from a bad place. But when one looks at what the Forest Service is proposing, it sounds kind of nice in their niche statement until you look at precisely what the agency intends on doing. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go a little further in the show. But first, I wanted to introduce what the Nez Perce and the Clearwater National Forests have as their summary, their niche statement summary. And they say it's where wild country meets wild rivers. It says wilderness and whitewater offer visitors an escape to quiet, remote natural surroundings. The Nez Perce and Clearwater National Forest, you can take an hour, a day, or even a week to immerse yourself in the big wild. Friends and family can gather to relax, ride, hike, camp, and enjoy the scenery. Blue Ribbon fisheries lure anglers, backcountry hunting, pack trails, and scenic vistas draw visitors to this rich country. Traditional homeland of the Nez Perce tribe, its history, culture, and knowledge are integral values. Stories of early settlement, mining, and Forest Service history are told in romantic settings of historic sites and travel ways. So Forest Service likes to tout its own history there. And that's sort of the introduction to their settings. Now, when we get talk a little bit more about their settings, as this little summary document goes on, we'll point out some of the concerns here. Forest-wide settings and special places and values. The landscape of the Nez Perce and Clearwater National Forests begin the jagged peaks of the Bitterroot Mountains, flow to the deep canyons of the Salmon, Selway, and Lhoxaw Rivers. Broad coniferous forests cover the mountains that stretch from the rolling hills of the Palouse Plateau to the Camas Prairie. Many wildlife and fish species also call this forest home, including big game animals like elk, deer, and moose, high flyers like bald eagle and osprey, and the anadromous fish species Chinook salmon and steelhead trout. Here, visitors can enjoy a slower pace and uncrowded spaces while learning about nature and the rich human history of the Nez Perce people, early settlement, gold mining, and other occupations. For more adventurous, the untrammeled land of the wilderness provides recreation opportunities while preserving natural landscapes now and into the future. Were that only the case, that would be nice. But then they've broken the forest up into four categories. And this is where it gets interesting. Wilderness, expedition, and remote backcountry. Selway, Bitterroot, Gospel Hump, Hell's Canyon, and Frank Church River, no return wilderness areas. They call them wilderness areas. It should properly be wildernesses. Offer remote, wild settings for camping, hiking, packing, and hunting. The Mallard-Larkins Pioneer Area and the Great Burn also provide vast areas of non-motorized backcountry with opportunities for solitude, self-reliance, and a sense of freedom found in few other places. Well, that's not entirely true. They allow in parts of the Mallard-Larkins and also Great Kelly Creek, Great Burn, motorized uses allowed, including a trail to Fish Lake inside the area the Forest Service recommended as wilderness. So that's not true either. Wild River Corridors. Wild and scenic salmon, Selway, and Lhoxaw Rivers provide high-quality river recreation experiences for both remote and motorized use. Meandering Red River, the broad and deep North Fork of the Clearwater, or any of the rivers large and small found here provide unlimited river recreation opportunities. Well, that's true. Land to roam and ride. Large, relatively undeveloped country offer visitors thousands of miles of designated roads and trails to drive, ride, hike, or pack on. Historic ridgeline corridors along the Lolo Trail and Magruder Corridor trace the paths of the Nez Perce, Lewis and Clark, and early traders. These large backcountry areas offer adventure, challenge, and opportunities to spend days exploring without ever following the same route twice. Now, they're emphasizing the riding there of motor vehicles more so than they are the hiking. And that is the largest category, and many of those areas should actually be in the wilderness, expedition, and remote backcountry, because that's really what they are. These are remote backcountry areas, and it's improper for the Forest Service to claim otherwise. These are places like Wheatus Creek, the largest roadless area on the Clearwater National Forest. But yet they don't recognize that. And then the convenient connections, areas closer to home can be found that provide connections to nature for local visitors. Many day use over night sites, and scenic drives are available within minutes of many small communities. Here, locals can conveniently escape the daily grind and enjoy the abundant river and mountain recreational opportunities and the rest and relaxation they provide. So that's a forest-wide setting, special places and values that the Forest Service is asking for public comment on about this recreation facilities analysis. Part of the problem with that is those are seem like actually allocations. You know, wilderness expedition, remote backcountry, that's an allocation decision. Wild river corridors, allocation. Now, in the case of wilderness, only Congress, and in the case of wild and scenic rivers, only Congress can make that decision. But the Forest Service can set aside remote backcountry on its own and to roam and ride. That's an allocation decision and convenient connections. That's largely allocation decision as well. Those kind of decisions are made in the National Forest Planning process, and that's what the revision of the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest plans should, in fact, do. But the Forest Service is making decisions properly that should properly be made in another forum, and it's a way to avoid accountability to the public, and that's sad. Then they come to the next part, forest-wide activities, opportunities, and experiences. Across the Nez Perce and Clearwater National Forest, nature provides an extraordinary scenic backdrop for day use, overnight camping, hiking, big game hunting, fishing, and boating. Outdoor activities happen year-round, with snowmobiling and cross-country skiing rounding out the year. They don't mention snowshoeing, unfortunately. Visitors can travel extensive scenic byways, visit interpretive and educational sites that reveal the rich history of the region, reach areas of the backcountry on foot or in a vehicle, and they're pushing the vehicles. Believe me, the backcountry, the remote backcountry, is not so remote, unfortunately, because the Forest Service has dedicated almost every single acre to motorized use. So, are on foot or vehicle and view wildlife in their natural surroundings. Outfitters and guides and other private partners. Could you get that? Private partners. There's the key to why they're doing this, trying to privatize the national forests. Also offer quality recreation experiences for users who may require help with skills and equipment. What they're trying to do is turn a lot of it over to the private industry. Now, they say things that are popular in these settings. Wilderness expedition and remote backcountry. Activities include backpacking and stock use on an extensive system of trails. Typical stays are multi-day expeditions that may include the use of backcountry airstrips and primitive camping. Wild river corridors, rafting, kayaking, jet boating, primitive camping, and multi-day excursions are all available here depending on the river being visited. Primitive and developed camping is available where access is by passenger vehicle. Land to roam and ride, hiking, horsepacking, fishing, hunting, primitive and developed camping, motorized use on designated routes, and which almost every single one is. And overnight stays in historic cabins are popular in this setting. That's actually more like the remote backcountry when you actually look at areas there are. And convenient connections. These forests offer hiking, horseback riding, as well as motorized riding on designated routes. Overnight stays in historic cabins, as well as campground accommodations, accommodating larger RVs are also available. Access to rivers for fishing, floating, and dispersed camping is plentiful. Viewing scenery, picnicking, and informal sites for day use are popular. Winter sports are enjoyed on groomed trails or in areas of self-exploration. So that's what the Forest Service, that's their sort of presentation on this process. But it really doesn't tell you much about what it is. It leads one to believe that it is an improper allocation of the National Forest in terms of recreation outside of the normal planning process. That would actually be illegal for them to do that. That sort of leads one to believe that. But there's another layer to this, and we're going to talk about that when we get back. I'm going to take a quick musical break here. And let's see, we might play another song here from this Joey Ramone album, as well as some other new music that sounds kind of interesting here called Little Big. So it's kind of Pins and Narwhals, kind of an interesting cover, so I thought I'd play some of them. So play another song from Joey Ramone.
Sleazy crib, y'all going nowhere, baby. Gonna bring you down. You better listen to what I'm saying. Girl, they're gonna bring you down, baby. Oh, I gotta get away.
Sitting here thinking of you. waiting for that railroad to go home. Oh, whoa, oh, oh, oh. Sitting here, thinking of you. And I'm waiting for that railroad to go home. Oh, whoa, oh, 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 oh. Waiting for that railroad to go home.
And we're back to Wild Clearwater Country Show. A couple of interesting tunes there. A couple from the late Joy Ramone. It's actually new music, KRFP, and one band called Little Big Pins and Narwhals. Kind of an interesting name, kind of an odd little song there. Well, we're back, and we've been talking about the Forest Service's brand new recreation facility analysis. Well, when you actually get down to it, what is a Forest Service planning? Well, it's hard to tell because on the website they have two documents that lay out, you know, the campgrounds that the Forest Service has and sites and what they intend to do with them. But there isn't, and some of these aren't really formal sites. What they're trying to do, it seems, is formalize informal or what one would call dispersed camping. And in some places, while that might be necessary or might be helpful to have some kind of management there, in other places, it really is unneeded. And in fact, the funny thing is, every single campground on the Clearwater National Forest, for example, is rated as a Class B, whatever that means, campground, except for two, which really aren't campgrounds or could hardly be called campgrounds at all. And that one is the Wheatus Bridge Camp, and there's a reason for that. Its rank and score is zero. It's a Category D because it has a bridge that is unsafe, a condemned bridge that goes through it, and that's the only way to access that camp. And the Forest Service is also taking comments on that camp as well. And the other one, and actually that's a place where people, they're probably just a little informal site on the other side of the bridge, on the roadside, that people just sort of pull off and camp there too. And maybe that's what the Forest Service means. But these documents they've produced aren't very clear or very useful. They just list in different various charts the different campgrounds and or trailheads. And then say how, when they're going to be open, and there's not much discussion, and there's no real idea of what's going to happen here. One of the things, too, though, is they're turning some of the old lookouts and cabins into recreation sites. And in a time of budget crunch, it would seem to me that a lot of those old sites just maybe ought to just be left alone. If they're not needed anymore, maybe they could just kind of return back to nature, as it were. Because if the Forest Service rents them out, then they create all sorts of liability problems if anything happens. So the public can comment probably this month. They don't even have a definitive end-of-the-year comment period. They're just saying they're taking public input. That's it. There's nothing more than that. And they have a bunch of steps. Step one, they do their site inventory and financial data. But they really don't have that on the web. Step two, identify combined forest recreation program niche. And that's their draft. And people can comment on that. Identify operational efficiencies, whatever that means. Four is to rank recreation sites. Five is to, and they did rank them in their earlier plans, and they really didn't even get around to doing them. Step five is to propose a five-year program of work to stakeholders. That's an unfortunate term the Forest Service uses for citizens. We're citizens, not stakeholders, not stockholders or anything else. We are citizens. Again, that's the market talk. And the relationship should be very, very, very different. Step six is to finalize a five-year proposed program of work. And step seven is to implement that program. Well, the devil's going to be in the details, and there's not much detail on the Forest website. That's useful to members of the public. It won't tell you exactly what camps are going to be, campgrounds will be open or closed, or what they're going to do precisely, even though there's some very detailed charts that have very information that's of limited use or utility, particularly their past year's plans, one prepared in 2007, one prepared in 2008 for the Nez Perce, 2007 for the Clearwater. This one they're doing together as one. Again, there's hardly any information there that is useful in determining what is going to be happening. So if you're interested in participating in this process and about recreation facilities on these forests, want to make sure that these facilities remain, that our national forests remain in public hands, you might want to comment to the Forest Service. You can visit their website, and if you just go to the Nez Perce National Forest or the Clearwater National Forest, either one, and look in their planning section and their, we'll call it, recreation facility analysis part, you can provide comments. Also, within the next several days, Friends of the Clearwater on its website at www.friendsoftheclearwater.org will have a little alert on where you can find some more information about this and some analysis of what the Forest Service is proposing to do. It's, as I mentioned, it is a little bit confusing at this point in time, AIM, and it seems almost to be a plan for planning's sake rather than something useful, a way to get around complying with the National Environmental Policy Act, and maybe a way to hide exactly what's going on underneath a lot of flowery talk about wilderness expedition and remote backcountry, wild river corridors, land to roam and ride, very evocative statements. But when one peels back a few layers here, we find out that the Forest Service at the same time is proposing to let concessionaires take over management of campgrounds. And they might even privatize some of the old lookouts, who knows, out on the National Forest. So it's becoming a process by which the national heritage, our national natural heritage, is being slowly bled away into the coffers of private interests. And I certainly hope that doesn't occur. But to date, it looks like that's the direction, and that's at least the impetus behind the Forest Service looking at all of these facilities. And while the Forest Service probably needs to take an honest look, given its budget at developed recreation, it should take a different approach, and that should be done through the forest planning process, a process open to all Americans, and that is more transparent than this one that has actual information, and rather than having a bunch of charts and tables that contain rather meaningless gobbledygook. Well, I think we'll play a few more songs and get back and talk about a couple other topics here in the wild Clearwater country. So I think I'll play another song. That's kind of an interesting tune from this Little Big, Pins and Narwhals. We'll choose another song from that album.
Skate on, skate. Skate, skate on, skate.
Back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Played a couple songs there. One from Little Big and Pins and Narwhals, and one from Emily Wells. She plays all those instruments at once. It's pretty amazing. She's just more of a folk type singer, so I changed up the genres there a little bit. Well, getting back to the topic at hand, I just finished talking about the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forests. Yes, they are combining. And yes, that is a term they are officially using now, although the official approval date for the combination of the two national forests probably won't come down until September of this year. But they do have their recreation facility analysis that they are asking for public comment on right now. And unfortunately, that whole process was started by the Outdoor Recreation, and I spell that WRECK, Recreation Industry groups that represent kind of the Disneyfication, if you will, of public lands. And that's an industry that has with a group called the American Recreation Coalition that's been trying to take over public lands now for around 20 years and found receptive ears, unfortunately, in both Democratic and Republican administrations. And they're the ones that came up with this process in the first place in an attempt to basically privatize either the existing recreation infrastructure and or use and privatize excess structure and facilities the Forest Service may have on the national forests and use them for private commercial gain. And that's a serious problem. But getting back to talking about recreation, here's one of the ironies when you think of this region of the Forest Service and their budget. And this speaks directly to the lack of priorities within the Forest Service. You might want to address that in your comments as well, if you choose to write. Is that on average, about 21% of the Forest Service budget goes to all kinds of recreation and other stuff in the nation. But here in this part of the country, what they call Region 1, that's North Idaho, the Nez Perce, Clearwater, Idaho Panhandle National Forests, and now the National Forests in Montana, and the grasslands in the Dakotas. And those are fairly small, those grasslands, but those are very famous areas for wilderness, the places like the Bob Marshall Wilderness, the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness, the Absaroka Beartooth Wilderness, all well, either as a complex or individually, over a million acres in size, are all within Region 1 or largely. Some huge wild big areas for wild country. We've got, of course, the scenic byway, Highway 12 and whatnot. Only 14% of the budget goes to recreation here in this region, and something on the order of 27%, the largest single item, goes to the logging program on the National Forest, even though watersheds, recreation, and rare fishes are far more important in this region than they are probably in any other region in the lower 48. So that's kind of speaks to the lack of priorities of the Forest Service right there and how they're allocating money. And believe me, the Forest Service has plenty of flexibility in how to allocate money. They pretend they don't. But the accounting process is so Byzantine, it is completely unaccountable to the public, even though Congress tries to put some constraints on where certain money is going to be spent. That's not how it works out in reality on the ground. Finally, a lot of people may have camped at the Wheatus Campground. As I mentioned earlier, there's a bridge that goes across the North Fork of the Clearwater that's been condemned. The Forest Service is taking public comments until October. They just want to know what they ought to do. For this summer, it looks like that campground is going to be closed unless you come in on the trail from the Wheatus Guard Station, cross the bridge further up, and then go the 8 or so miles to the campground. It'll probably be closed. So Forest Service is, again, informally looking for comments from the public. It's not a formal public comment yet, and they're looking for them throughout the summer. So you may want to contact the North Fork District Ranger, which is out of Orofino. That phone number is 476-4541, and ask to speak to the District Ranger if you have any comments. Again, 476-4541 is that number. Well, we're winding down the Wild Clearwater Country Show. I probably ought to shift gears here now into the weather. And if anybody that's been outside knows, it's pretty nice. And the projected high apparently has been reached. It's about 66 degrees out there right now, at least as of the last record. Humidity is about 34%. Mostly clear tonight with a low around 45 degrees, west wind between 7 and 16 miles an hour, with gusts as high as 24 miles an hour. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 66 again, west wind around 8 miles an hour. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 44, west wind between 3 and 9. And Friday, sunny with a high near 66 yet again. Calm wind becoming west between 7 and 10 miles an hour. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 46 degrees. west winds again. And believe me, I know about those west winds. I biked into work here into Moscow on the trail that goes to Troy, and it was more than a breeze. It was pretty stiff this morning. In Friday night, again, partly cloudy, low around 46. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 73. So the temperature is going to increase on Saturday. At least it's projected to increase for the Moscow area. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 51. Sunday, 20% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high again near 73. Sunday night, a 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 45. Monday, partly sunny, a high near 67. So back to that temperature. And Monday night, a 20% chance of showers, a low around 46. And Tuesday, a 20% chance of showers, again, with partly sunny with the highs around 67. So it looks like a little bit of unsettled weather, though not much of a chance of any more thunderstorms in the region. Probably points to the north and the east, more in the mountains, a greater chance of precipitation. You are listening to KRFP Moscow. And now we go to Between the Lines.
KRFP thanks its donors and underwriters, including
Mikey's Gyros, specializing in Greek and Middle Eastern cuisine such as gyros, falafel, hummus, tabbouleh, and spanakopita, located at 527 South Main Street in Moscow.
You are listening to KRFP Moscow.
We are now no longer the knights who say Nikitsch. We are now the knights who say
KRFP Moscow.
Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. This week we present Chris Tensing, editor of Middle East Report, who assesses the international response to escalating violence in Syria as that nation enters its 16th month of a popular uprising. Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive magazine, who discusses the